The electric car maker Tesla has had some bad news in the last week. Over the weekend, Tesla said it missed its forecast for car shipments for the second consecutive quarter, just days after it was revealed that a driver was killed while using Tesla's self-driving mode. For more, let's turn to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Edmund Lee is managing editor of Recode. He joins us now. Ed, welcome back.
Thanks.
So what's going on with Tesla?
Well, it, as you pointed out at the top here, it missed its delivery shipment for the second time this year. It was supposed to deliver, or it forecast it would deliver 17,000 vehicles and only delivered about 14,000 and change. So they missed about 15%. And, you know, that's actually a pretty big deal when you're a new company like Tesla trying to get more people buying its product, its car. And, you know, I think it's just going to be that much harder for the back half of the year for it to make up for that shortfall.
Any sense of why? Because it seems that there's so much excitement about every Tesla vehicle that comes out.
There is, and current Tesla owners are rabid fans of it, of the car. So it's not for lack of interest. It's not for lack of customer interest. In fact, they're sign-ups all the time. There's a long waiting list for a lot of the cars. It's just good old-fashioned manufacturing issues. You know, I mean, we think of Tesla as this tech startup, which it is in a lot of ways. But the issues it's facing are issues that car manufacturers have had for decades and decades, which is supply and workers and scheduling. And it's just missing. And that's what it comes down to. It's a very old-fashioned problem.
Is there any way for them to fix it? Or are we going to continue to see consecutive quarter after consecutive quarter with sales that are below expectations?
We're more likely to see the miss going forward. Mm. And that's based on the company's own projections. Their narrative around how they're developing is, you know what, we're going for the moon here. These are moonshots, right? And if we miss, it's because, you know, we're trying really hard. We're trying to hit a much higher target. So, you know, it's a weird position for a public company like Tesla to be in to make it to be very upfront about that. You know, it hasn't really figured out the manufacturing side as well as it could, the way an established company might. And so you're more likely to see, as I said, them miss these targets going forward.
And what about this fatal crash of a vehicle using the self-driving mode? First of all, what do we know at this point about exactly what happened?
We actually, unfortunately, don't know enough. The nuts and bolts of it are that a driver in Florida was killed when, you know, he was driving his Tesla using what's called their autopilot feature, which is a semi-autonomous driving mode where on a highway, you can engage it and you can sort of let go of the wheel and not even do anything. It'll drive for you. What ended up happening is a truck from the oncoming traffic jumped the median and ended up crashing into the car. The autopilot feature apparently was not able to distinguish the truck from the road. Hmm. I think the explanation that Tesla gives is because the truck was white and the background, the weather, the horizon was also white, so it couldn't differentiate. So it's a really specific problem, and it goes to show you just how far we are from real autopilot or real autonomous driving.
And I think white, by the way, is the most common color of any car. So that's going to
exactly
be a problem they're going to have to deal with. What does it mean for companies, including Tesla, but also Google, that are trying to make this a reality, self-driving cars?
Well, I actually think self-driving cars will be a reality. There's so much effort and work being put into it. What's interesting about what happened in this particular crash is that there are two different approaches to autonomous driving. Semi-autonomous is what just happened with Tesla, and then fully autonomous, meaning we're going to design the car ground up to be fully autonomous. If you can put your hands on the wheel if you absolutely need to, but it's designed to do the thing that, you know, where you don't really
right
have to touch it. Semi-autonomous is partly, whereas it's almost like, you know, cruise control in a bit plus. And I think that's in a way more dangerous sometimes because people don't realize semi-autonomous doesn't mean autonomous, meaning you're supposed to actively be monitoring what's happening. And it's almost more stressful that way. It's actually a lot more work to monitor not just the road, but what the car's kind of doing without you attached to it. And I think that's – we want to see these two different approaches converge at some point, and that's when it's going to become an everyday reality.
Ed, I want to quickly get your thoughts on one other big story in the world of tech. Facebook, over the weekend, Israel's public security minister criticized the social media network for, he said, failing to block posts that incite Palestinian violence. They claim that the Israelis claim that that Facebook has blood on its hands in relation to several deadly attacks. What's going on here?
Harsh words, right. What's interesting is that, you know, what Facebook is experiencing is that, you know, we have to see what Facebook's product is. And it's people's expressions. That's what it really is. And that they're ultimately trying to protect that. And so it's actually really hard to take posts down because they're the ones making the determination what is and isn't hateful speech. And I think it's going to run into more problems going forward because, you know, governments and municipalities and just sort of, you know, social mores will dictate, you know, hey, why is Facebook the one, you know, making this determination? Why aren't governments doing that? Or why aren't, you know, communities doing that ultimately? And I think that's where the issue is going to be for Facebook going forward. It's only going to get more difficult for them.
And of course, when you're dealing with different governments, there are questions about whether you're doing too much to satisfy one government, which decides that language is hate speech or language shouldn't be up there. So a lot of questions for Facebook, especially because it's operating all over the world. Ed Lee, managing editor at Recode, thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime.